to work with the National Association of Home Builders from 1999 to 2012, first serving as a housing policy economist and then served as a senior economist for his last 7 years. Since 2012, Dr. Eisenberg has served as the chief economist for an economic consulting firm, Graphs and Labs. He writes a syndicated column and authors a daily 70-word commentary on the economy. I highly recommend it. It's informative, it's relative, and best of all, it's free. Dr. Eisenberg is a frequent speaker for groups around the country on topics ranging from home building, tourism, government regulation, and current economic issues. His research and opinions have been featured in Bloomberg, Business Week, Forbes, Fortune, and many other publications. His passion is talking economics with groups large and small. I've heard him speak a couple of times before, and there's no doubt everyone here will enjoy his twist on presenting statistics with high energy and a sense of humor. So this time, let's welcome back Dr. Elliot Eisenberg.
Thank you all very much. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. I got lots to say. It's pretty good news. We'll get into details here. The economy's okay. It ain't great. We're not going to go into a recession, and interest rates are going to rise slowly. And I think the most important thing for you to remember is thank God you're not Lafayette or Houma. I think that's the best thing you can say, all right? Remember that every day. Remind yourself, don't look for oil. Hopefully we will never find any. We'll never be them, and we'll be good. Right? What's going on here? Where's the economy sitting? You see the equation up on the board. It talks about GDP. It cuts GDP into four parts. Household consumption, C, is the first term in GDP. It's doing fine. It's up almost 3% a year. There's no problem. If the rest of the economy were as good as this, we'd be happy. The problem is the second term, I, sucks. And X minus M, exports minus imports, really suck. And you can't have a good economy when all the parts aren't working together. Government spending is actually going up federally. This may, although here in Baton Rouge, this could be a problem. No one knows what they're going to do to cover the big budget deficit, right? Let's look at some numbers. Why do I feel good about households? First, we have more wealth than we've ever had before. Wealth is at an all-time high. The stock market, this is the end of Q4, and since then the market's done a little bit better. So we're fine, thank you very much. We have 30 trillion bucks more than we had just a few years ago, 8 or 9 years ago. That's a lot of money. It makes me feel good, I'm sure it makes you feel good too. Next, we have more disposable income. Even though wages haven't been going up as fast as we'd like, and they're going up better than we think, and we'll talk about that shortly, we have more cash flow, because you may not remember this, but 8 or 9 years ago, everybody stopped paying their mortgage. And wow, whoa, we have more cash now. It's kind of nice. Gasoline is cheaper. Interest rates are low. And the combination gives the average household well over $1,000, $1,500 extra per year, despite the fact that wages aren't doing all that spectacularly well. So we have more cash, right? We have more wealth, and we're borrowing more money. See, we're going up. We used to have, you know, if you look at this graph, this is incredible, actually. If you look on the left-hand side of the graph, from 03, the first bar, up to about almost midway, to about 2008, that is the highway to hell, okay? If you see debt going up that fast, run for the friggin' hills, because something bad will happen later. I don't know when, I don't know how, but something bad was happening. So back here, this was, let's start blowing lines, you know, let's get a mistress and a condo and a fancy boat and all this crazy junk. And then it all has to end. And it ends badly. We decline, our total debt declines. We're pulling in our belt buckle every day. Households are doing it, corporations are doing it. It stinks. So we have 6 quarters of recession followed by several years of really crummy performance. And now debt's going back up. It's not as big as it was. The economy's larger. As a percent of GDP, this is only, I'll go back here, there's only 80% of GDP. That was 100% of GDP. So we actually can borrow more money. This is okay. The problem here is some student loan debt, which is going to delay people buying houses. The college graduates are going to be delayed buying houses. That's going to be how it affects us most. We're going to talk about that a little later outside. Consumer confidence is okay. It's not great. From what I read, we're all taking lots of opioids like Oxycontin. That's delicious, and we feel better. And those of us who can't do that, we take Prozac, we feel good, and Xanax, and we're okay. We're over-medicated, but it's like, you know, you can't have everything. But, it's not perfect. Nothing in our economy is perfect. It really isn't. There's nothing really great out there. Our whole economy is kind of like, meh. But it's good enough. That's the key thing. That's by far the most important message here. So consumer confidence has improved. And you put it together, this is the increase in total household spending as a percent. So you see it's up almost 3%. Look at the far left, there's 3%. I mean, that's not spectacular. But if our GDP of our economy were growing 3%, I would be really happy to rock on. I really would be. But we're not getting it. We're getting 2. Because the rest of the economy, exports and corporate spending, are very weak. And we'll discuss why. And you know one of the reasons already really well. I don't have to go into detail in Louisiana. So this is it. Now let's talk about corporate spending. The second part of GDP. What's going on? One of the 2 factors driving lousy corporate spending is the massive decline in oil prices. You know, a couple years ago, the reason is 2 years ago, oil price was $100 a barrel, 110, exploration was going everywhere, production was going everywhere, Halliburton, Schlumberger, Baker Hughes, all these rigs were being brought in here, tons of activity in the oil patch all over the place, the Bossier Shale up north and so on and so forth. It's all done right now. Massive reduction. So not only is there the direct effects of the oil patch jobs and the roughneck guys and the fracking guys, but there's the knock-on jobs of the oil services, and then there's the suppliers, and then the retailers and so on, hotels and so on and so forth. It's a big, big decline. This is being felt nationally, let alone in a state like Louisiana, where there's some reasonable amounts of oil. We'll get into that in a second. On top of that, natural gas prices are in the ground. I mean, my gosh, look at this. As recently as 7 or 8 years ago, it was consistently $4 for a million BTUs. Now it's under $2 for a million BTUs. So there's not much exploration going there. The Marcellus Shale, where there's massive amounts of natural gas, tons of layoffs going there too. You have infinite supply of natural gas, but it's cheap, and we're having trouble in that area too. So look at rig counts. I mean, I don't have to point this out to you. You live this, generally speaking, every day, despite the fact that you're not Lafayette and you're not Homer, right? I mean, remember that, right? We're thankful, we're appreciative, we say our prayers every night. But this cannot have anything but a negative effect on the economy. You can delay it, you can postpone it, but eventually the chickens come home to roost. It's not as bad as you think, but it's problematic. So let's look at Louisiana vis-a-vis other states that are large oil-producing states. And you're not badly off. You really are not. As much suffering as you're experiencing, look at places like North Dakota, where it's 5% of the labor force, or Oklahoma, where it's 3.5%, or Wyoming. Okay, it's cold there, mind you, but it's still 5.75%. You've reduced your dependency on oil in terms of employment by roughly 50 or 55% over the last 30 years. So yeah, you're gonna suffer some, but it ain't gonna be what it was. Remember what it was and reduce it substantially, either in duration, we don't know how long, but certainly in magnitude here, right? So it's gonna hurt, but it's gonna hurt less. So that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is loss of long-run jobs as a share of total employment. And no measure is perfect here, but I want to give you the point that there are states, it's not that you're spectacularly off. You know, Massachusetts has no oil at all. They're giddy, okay? So I don't want to give you that feeling, but you can compare yourself to other states, and yeah, look at here. You know, you look at New Mexico, they're much worse off. North Dakota, Oklahoma, Texas is worse off. Wyoming is worse off. So you're like 5th or 6th, I would say, in terms of energy employment as percentage of state employment. So it could be better, but don't look to those states like North Dakota, Wyoming, and say, oh my gosh, they're having trouble, we will too. No. You're different than they are, and you're different than you were because you've expanded and broadened your economic base. Very important. The big thing for you going forward is to think about what the state's going to do to plug the budget gap. And if they, you know, if they lay off 3,000 local workers here in town, not that I'm suggesting this, but if they do something stupid like that, this could have some real negative ramifications here, right? But barring that and some tax increases or budget cuts or increased deficit spending for a short period of time, all right, we go on. In terms of oil, what I think is going to happen, and who knows, right? This is, all bets are off. But the Saudis are going to keep pumping, the Russians are going to keep pumping,